This morning, thanks to some exciting top secret research work being done at Mansfield College, a way has been found to transport people forward from the past. Now, as it's the Christmas season, we've brought back some of those people who were present at the time of the Nativity, and some of us may have noticed that there are people dressed somewhat differently than we are here this morning. We are very fortunate to have in our midst some of the wise men, Herod and the tax collector, the innkeeper's wife, Mary, and a shepherd boy, and we've invited them all to engage in an interview with BBC correspondent Laurence Devlin, who I'm sure has got some interesting questions that we all might have wondered ourselves, and we may indeed have a chance to ask them questions of our own. But Laurence, when she gets her media equipment functioning, is going to go and interview these guests of ours this morning.
Right. We'll start with the wine. Who are not together, but doesn't matter. I'll start with Lord Melchior. So, Lord Melchior, when you were travelling westward, what were you thinking?
Sorry, I can tell that there are some who are having difficulty hearing, so can I just swap out the microphone?
Yes, you can.
Technical. You mean I get to hold one?
Yes.
Do you want to say a few more words? Sorry.
Lord Balthazar.
Yeah.
Yes. When you return to your foreign land, were you able to adapt to your former reality after what you saw and what you experienced?
Well, we tried to adapt to our former reality, but it was very difficult because we were, well, people call us wise men, but really we were sort of like magicians, sorcerers. We used gold, frankincense, and myrrh in all our spells. We brought everything we could to this stupid place, and then when we got back, like my friends say, it was very different because, like, these spells didn't work anymore, and everything was, well, for a while, upside down.
And how did you actually get back to your ordinary life?
We didn't get back to our ordinary life. We just did the best we could and tried to keep in touch with what was happening over in Bethlehem and Jerusalem and Judah. But over the few years, we lost touch, and then we heard rumors that things were going badly wrong. That this guy Herod, who we met, had been replaced by another Herod, and that he was another nasty piece of work. And And it all went badly wrong. It all went badly wrong. And after that, we sort of lost touch. But coming back here, I see nothing's changed. You still have Herods? Yeah. So there we are. And you have revolutions, I see.
Yes, a different kind.
Well, indeed.
A different kind.
Yeah. Does anybody want this microphone?
Yes.
There you go.
Lord Gaspar, I come back to you. You have a wonderful piece of gold here. Why did you choose these specific gifts, gold, myrrh, and frankincense?
Well, I can only claim to have chosen the gold, so you'll have to ask them about frankincense and myrrh. But this is what I had to offer. And I thought that the baby probably could use it somehow, or the family. I'm not sure exactly what use they did make of it after the fact, but it was, I thought, worthy of what I expected to be a king, a good offering for a king. And so that's what I was able to bring and did bring.
And you didn't expect, obviously, the king to be who he was?
No, this was completely unexpected. Nonetheless, I did leave it and assumed they would make of it what they would.
Do you have any idea of what they did with it?
No, I also heard rumors, as Balthazar mentioned, that they had fled to Egypt, and I found it very heavy bringing it from my home. I don't know whether they had room to take it to Egypt with them or not. I really don't know. Perhaps they dispersed it around Bethlehem.
Thank you. Lord Melchior, there is one question that has been really in our mind, all of us. Was there really a star?
Was there? Sorry. Yes, there was a star that we followed, but I think we came to realize that we were being led by forces not just physical, but spiritual in a way, and there was more to it than just a physical presence. And I think that still applies.
Thank you. Now, we turn to the person who's been described as a nasty piece of work, King Herod. Your Majesty, Jesus got away, actually. Have you any regret? Now that you know what he had become.
Oh, no, I haven't got any regrets. Of course not. I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing. We could all do things differently if we knew what the turnout was going to be. But this is what you people just don't understand. You don't get it, do you? You really don't get it. Politicians have to deal with things that flare up in an instant. They've got to make really difficult decisions on the spur of the moment with the best information they've gotten in accordance with whatever principles they may hold. And my principle is to keep this kingdom secure.
Right. Now, we can all see that you're not as evil as you've been described, really. It takes both sides, yes? Anyway, you have a bad press. So, is there anything more that you could say in your defense?
Well, of course there is. Let me tell you something through hindsight. I read one of your books this morning about me. And this is what it said. For 37 years, he kept the peace in a country very difficult to govern. Now, what you guys don't understand, and you've never really got it, is that this country is a nightmare. The Romans support me only if I can keep things under control. And I've reduced terrorist attacks against them. I've strengthened law and order. The Jews hate me, of course, because I'm not a Jew. And I have to deal with fundamentalists and terrorists all the time. And you can't just pretend that life's going to be easy. You've got to make tough choices. Now, listen, there's one other thing. Well, you can ask me another question. Maybe I'll come back to that. Just a moment. It's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Something called the Euro is in trouble.
Now, you have defended yourself, but there is one thing really that we all want to know about, is the massacre of the innocents. It's not your finest hour. Is there any political reason for that?
Well, of course there is. One of the things that was problematic and is problematic is that these Jews have this idea of a messiah, of some king who's going to come and kick all the foreigners out and establish his kingdom. We've had quite a few claimants to that title, and I've dealt with them, each one, or else they've turned out to be complete frauds. And whenever rumours arise, political problems begin. This time it was worse. These scientists who came over from Syria asking me where the king of the Jews was to be born, I mean, what on earth am I supposed to do? This is spread outside our borders. Supposing, for example, this country is a really strategic country. It links Europe and Asia and Africa. All the major trade routes go through it. That's why people have fought over it for hundreds and thousands of years. Supposing the Syrian king decides to support a popular rising against me on the grounds that this child has been born. What sort of state will we be in then? So my policy has always been, and if I didn't have it, the Romans would finish me off right away, to nip things in the bud as soon as they start. And to do it in the hard way, to make it absolutely clear to these idiots that once they start up with this, oh, there's a king coming who's going to free us of the Romans, there's a king coming who's going to establish all that nonsense. The only thing that will happen if they start revolting is that Roman soldiers will come in with the jackboot, and that'll be the end of the limited independence they enjoy under me.
Thank you, Your Majesty. We will judge what you said ourselves. Now we turn to Mary, the mother of that so-called new king. So, Mary, what did you imagine when you gave birth to your son? Did you have any idea of what he was to become?
I was still reeling from the shock of the visit of the angel Gabriel, and my thoughts were so bound up as to why God should have chosen me of all the eligible 14, 15-year-old girls there who were just as religious, read their prayers in the same way as I did, that I just accepted what happened. I had no idea of what might happen in the future, but Joseph was such a wonderful support to me that I put my faith in God.
Thank you. And after that, after all what happened, you were given, along the centuries, extraordinary titles: Mother of God, Perpetual Virgin, Queen of Heaven, Star of the Sea, and I could go on, but I don't want to embarrass you. So, what do you think of all these titles?
I think that man needed to find a mother figure they could worship, and that really none of it applied to me, but that if that suited their desires of the moment, so be it.
Okay. Your son is called the Son of God. So, what do you think the people meant by that? Do you think it's to be taken literally or metaphorically? What do you think?
I think each person had to decide for himself. It was something that I believed in profoundly, and I think the Jews surrounding me believed it too, but it obviously had different application for different people.
And my last question was, did you always dress in blue?
That is a preconception which I think probably arose much later in the Middle Ages. But you must remember, we were not a wealthy family. Blue was the most accessible country. Indigo was available to everybody, whereas crimson, the royal purple, was not available to such as us. Even though I came from a family well enough off to be able to learn to read and write, which was unusual in my day, nevertheless, we were from a fairly humble background, and we certainly couldn't afford to change our clothes every minute. In fact, if you're travelling on a donkey, it's not the best thing to wear light colours. It gets pretty dusty.
It suits you anyway. Thank you, Mary. Now we turn to the shepherd boy. And my first question is, what did you do with all your sheep when you got to Bethlehem and you went on search of the baby?
I had trustworthy friends in the town who were very helpful and supportive. It was a religious thing, and they understood that, so they gladly helped with my sheep.
And they didn't ask any questions more, did they?
Well, I promised if they did it, they could have the best lamb. So.
All right, that's a good job. Yes, that's a good thing. So can you tell us more about the amazing experience you had when the angels came and the heavens opened?
That was terrifying. Ah. It was just so sudden. I mean, I've been minding my sheep in the fields for years, and nothing like that's ever happened. I just can't believe it happened. Half elated and half completely scared out of my wits.
Are you all right now?
Yeah, I'm recovering.
And your friends that actually took care of your sheep, how did they react when you told them? Did they think you were mad or?
A bit. They looked at me quite. They gave me some funny looks, but they didn't ask too many questions. Especially, I was in a very big hurry, so they couldn't really say no because I'd run off to find the baby.
And you were with some of your friends,
yeah.
So, if you had been alone, do you think you would have thought it had never happened?
Oh, definitely. I didn't believe it until my friends said they'd seen the same thing, so I thought I was going mad for a minute.
Did it change your life?
Definitely.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now we turn to the innkeeper's wife. The first question I ask you is a practical question. All these amazing visitors, did they actually settle with you before they left?
Oh, well, of course. I mean, we run a business, and we always provide, you know, the best service, and we make sure that the visitors pay.
You took care of the lump of gold.
So, when they all arrived, these amazing, important visitors, what did you feel? Were you obviously surprised? What did you feel?
Well, we're actually quite used to having visitors from distant lands. We have a very high reputation amongst travellers, and we make sure that... really just that there were so many all at once. That was the real problem. And but eventually people go and things settle back to normal.
you have a good reputation, and yet you put a baby, or rather a pregnant woman, in a manger, in a cattle stall, really. So given what you know now, would you have given her and the baby your best room?
Well, I mean, all the rooms were taken, and you just cannot move somebody out just because somebody else arrives. Joseph came from Bethlehem, and my husband had played with him as a child. He knew him. They were friends, so we felt we had to do what we could, and Joseph this new young wife who we hadn't met before were very pleased to take what we could manage to do. I mean, obviously we cleaned out and put fresh straw down. I think it was quite sheltered and warm and comfortable there. And actually quite private, much more private than it was in the inn on a busy time like that.
So actually you are talking about Joseph's family. Weren't you surprised that they didn't offer any hospitality?
Who didn't offer hospitality?
Joseph's family, they could have.
So the whole town was absolutely heaving. Every place, and Joseph had left some years before to go to Nazareth. I don't really know the details. I think maybe he had gone as a boy to an uncle or something. I really don't know.
Thank you. Now we turn to someone very important, who is usually not very popular, but they are important. He's the tax collector. Now, sir, you were very keen to catch up with the three wise men. Why?
Well, quite simply, we heard from Herod the fact that he'd managed to keep the peace for all those years and stop terrorists and infidels and separatists and what have you. So Herod already decreed that somehow in the coming year we had to increase our revenues by 10%. And therefore, these wise men came from other lands. They brought all this gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, very valuable. And had I known at the time that they were going to be with Herod, I'd have been there the first time round. But now with this opportunity, I'm going to be over there, so I hope you can detain them for a short while. But the gold, the frankincense, is import duty on that. And, we'll greatly increase our revenues. So that's really why. They can just leave the gold, actually, we'll do.
Once a tax collector, always a tax collector. So, talking of tax, of course, Jesus, Mary and Joseph came to be taxed. But they were actually very poor, as we heard. So were not they eligible for tax relief?
Tax reliefs? What are they? No, I'm afraid there weren't such things. It's the benefit of modern times that I think has brought in these tax reliefs. But I think you should just bear in mind that people only paid tax on their available income then. And it's not the rates of tax that you might get today, 40 or 50%, as I gather they are up to. 1% probably wasn't too bad a price to pay for the safety in which they lived.
Right.
You're a 50%
tax. No. do you have any thoughts about their baby and the kind of man he became? Yes. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, at the time, you heard about his another baby. I had no concept of the change he might make in people's lives some 30 years plus on. But looking back from what I hear and have been told, I think he's a very clever man.
Yes.
I did sneak a look at some of his teachings, and he certainly hasn't mentioned in there anything about taxation, so he decided it's a subject not to go anywhere near. But, the concept of just picking the coin up and saying to the people, whose picture is that on there? And they say, Caesar, so it's nice and nice, very clever. He knew what he was about. And they said Caesar, so give to Caesar. But also clever in making it clear to those that heard him, if it's not got Caesar's picture on, then anything else that belongs to God doesn't go to Caesar. So that's very fair.
Well, I think these interviews will go down very well on the BBC. So I thank you, all of you. If any of you have anything to say that we have not said or that I have not asked, please tell me. Anybody? Your Majesty? No?
Yes, why aren't all these people bowing down in front of me? They're all sitting around.
I knew he would have to say something. Thank you very much, and it will be broadcast probably in about 2 weeks. Thank you very much. Yeah.